Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the other side of the glass, Brian Costello is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By Van Buren Buick GMC, Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935. By CSEA. Was that Meta? By CSEA, Local 830, we work for you. And by Play Sugar House, legal sports betting is here. Check it out. Maybe it was Heimerdinger. Check it out. Check it out at PlaySugarHouse.com. $250 deposit match on your first deposit. Does a great job, even though we haven't talked for a while, because I was upset with him. But I'm not. Don't worry about it now. It's the cat's out of the bag. Does a great job covering the Jets for the New York Post, and that's Brian Costello. Brian, how are you?
Guys, I come in peace.
No. Don't worry. You have no fear. It's over. No. Look, it's the cat. Like I said, is already out of the bag. I'm not going backwards. I'm going to try to go forwards.
I
want to
ask.
You know
one,
what I mean?
Can I ask one? You know, pain in the ass question, then Brian. Just one.
Yes,
and
you
then
can
we can move
it.
On. All right.
Yep.
Why? Why? I just want to know why. Why you and others? It seemed had a vendetta against a Super Bowl winning head coach like Mike McCarthy. Like he's some dummy. Why? Explain it to me.
I would argue I didn't have a vendetta. I can understand why you said it about others. But I think if you read what I wrote, I never bashed the guy or tore him down. What I did was reported that I thought the Jets weren't high on him. I wrote Monday, he's not the favorite to land the job, because that had been out there that he was a favorite to land the job. I don't think the Jets were ever as high on Mike McCarthy as some people portrayed it as. But I had nothing against Mike McCarthy.
No.
I wouldn't have to tear him down.
Brian, I'm not ripping your reporting because you're reporting what you hear. I'm not questioning that.
Yeah.
I'll ask you this to prove my point, unless you make me look like an idiot right now. Who do you think the New York Jets should have hired to be their head coach?
Who do I think they should have hired? That's a question. Because I wrote a lot of these. None of these candidates really blew me away. I wasn't impressed by any of them. I think I would have had to. This is going to be a little bit of a cop out answer, but of the eight guys they interviewed, I have never had a conversation with any of those eight guys beyond a conference call when they were playing the Jets. I've never studied their game. Some of them I've never seen coach a game, so I don't think I was qualified to say, this is the guy that should be the head coach of the Jets. I think that's what the process is. I think that's what McCaslin and Johnson had to do, was go talk to as many people as they could, research these guys, do their homework, and then make the best hire they could. None of them to me were slam dunks. So I would have really needed to do a lot of digging before I made this hire.
This boggles my mind, Brian. How do guys like Matt Rhule and Cliff Kingsbury, absolute nobodies, who, but let's be honest, most guys in the media didn't even know who these guys were three months ago, okay? How did guys like this become these, like, oh, my God, this is the next Belichick head coach? How has that happened? Tell me how that happened.
It's crazy to me. I mean, I was not high on any of the college guys. I think hiring college coaches in the NFL is a very risky proposition.
Absolutely.
Especially guys who have no background in the NFL.
Right.
Bill O'Brien, someone like that's different. Pete Carroll, obviously different.
Right, right.
But, you know, these coaching searches are interesting on a lot of levels, including how they're reported. Coaching agents have a lot of power, Joe. They have a lot of power with the media. They have a lot of power with teams. They're basically out there selling their clients as guys. I think that's part of it. I think people in the media like to be first on guys. Like, oh, I was the one who said this guy was a great coach before anybody else. And so if they catch wind that these guys are legitimate candidates, and look, the NFL teams are interviewing them, so they become legitimate candidates.
Right.
It's not
like
the media invents them. Like, the Jets were interested in Matt Rhule before anybody, you know, put his name out there. And Kingsbury obviously got interest from a couple of teams. So it's legitimate, but I think people love to go to look smart and be like, okay, this is the guy because I'm hearing from this team that he's the guy. And so they kind of run with it when it makes me shake my head because I just don't understand how these guys you can make these guys sound qualified for the job.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
What I don't know where to start here with Adam Gase because I think this is such a god awful hire. Okay,
but before you even do that, I just want to go one more because I want to get this. They were this close. I want to go back to Rule for a second.
Rule, yeah.
Because they were this close at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the way I understand it, to hiring this guy. How the hell were they going to sell this guy to the Jet fan base?
I don't think that's 100% accurate. I know that was a feeling yesterday, and there were some weird things going on Twitter. There was somebody who reported he was in New Jersey negotiating a contract, and I don't think that person was even a reporter who said that. So, but the way Twitter is, it catches on, and then I think people were talking about it. So I don't think they were ever as close as it appeared. I do think Rule was in contention yesterday along with Gase, and I think Todd Monken also was the other guy that they were considering. There were some issues with staffing with Rule. I don't think they're as great as some people have reported. I think I think the Jets wanted say in his staff. I don't think they were going to dictate, hey, you have to hire this guy, but I do think they wanted say in it, which I understand. The guy's never been a coach in the NFL other than 1 year with the Giants. How they would have sold it, I'm not sure, Joe. I'm not sure how they're not really selling Adam Gase right now.
No, definitely not. Right, right.
Yeah, so I think they concluded, like, we're not going to win the press conference here with any of these guys. We just have to hire the guy we like and not really worry about selling it to the fan base. We're just going to have to win and do it that way, which, you know, is fine.
Who's picking the coordinators then? Is it the front office or is it Adam Gase?
I think it's a collaborative effort. I think a huge part of these interviews was who you bring with you on your staff for everybody. Every coach that interviewed, I think, and basically, that's not, you know, revolutionary by the Jets. That's every job. They want to know who you bring with you. Now, Gase has guys he's worked with in Miami. I think Dahl Loggins is coming with him. You know, apparently it looks like if he can get his contract in Miami, the offense coordinator.
What's this guy's name again?
I don't even know how to pronounce it yet. It's Dahl Loggins.
Okay.
So he's coming with him. But, you know, this is Gase's offense. But I think they wanted to know, you know, especially for a college coach, who's going to be mentoring Sam Darnold, who's going to be running that offense if you're not running it. So with Gase, it's his offense. I think it's not as big of an issue. But I think it would be a collaborative effort, Evan, to answer your question. I do think the head coach would have the final decision, but I think the GM is involved in it.
Mm. Right, let me hear about all the quarterbacks that Adam Gase has whispered to. Well, let's hear it.
Let me just say this. He wrote the article today. He laid out all the numbers for Peyton Manning. Like I'm going to give Adam Gase, let's be honest,
any credit for Peyton Manning.
No, no, that's fine. But I'm not giving any credit to Adam Gase for Peyton Manning. Are you kidding?
So why do you give credit to Mike McCarthy for
first of all.
That's so different and you know it.
You
Come
know
on.
It.
That's ridiculous.
He dumped, so he ridiculous. He knew when to let Brett Favre, who could still play, knew when to let a legend in Brett Favre go and say, okay, I'm going with this guy. Did he not?
I'm not sure that was his decision. I think it was Ted Thompson's decision. But, it's different. Like, when Peyton Manning was at the end of his career, I'm not saying Gase created Peyton Manning by any means.
Plus, by the way, McCarthy was the head coach. This guy was an offensive coordinator.
Wow, but he was calling – John Fox wasn't doing anything with the offense.
Yeah, all right, fine.
No, you got it right, Joe.
Peyton Manning was the offensive coordinator.
It was the end of Peyton Manning's career. McCarthy developed Aaron Rodgers from the beginning.
And gets no credit.
Right, comparing the two is asinine, and you know that.
Thank you, Brian.
I'll concede that. I'll concede that. But
Thanks.
I don't think you can say Adam Gase deserves no credit for 2013 or 14 when they were putting up crazy numbers. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator. He wasn't – I know you called him his coffee boy.
What was he?
Peyton Manning has swung by this guy.
Who cares? Because
Peyton Manning, who didn't want to play for the Jets in 97, so now I got to go – you know, he didn't want to come here because he was going to come here as the number one pick. So I think I'll stay in Tennessee for another year.
You understand?
So I got to listen to him?
So think about this, Brian. Think about this Think about this logic, right? So Peyton Manning likes Adam Gase. They have a good relationship, and that's cool, and that's great. It basically got Gase a job. So Peyton has a good relationship with him. So we're going to give Gase credit for Manning. Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy obviously grew apart. They don't like each other anymore. Mike and Chris didn't like each other at the end. Who cares?
Right.
They still did something special.
Dolvin and Ernie don't like each other.
They
hate
each other. So we're not going to give McCarthy any credit for Rodgers. When Rodgers first started, McCarthy was the coach. Gase when Peyton was a rookie?
Right.
He was in high school.
He's conceding it.
McCarthy gets credit for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Ryan Tannehill. Go to him. What do you do for Ryan Tannehill?
Well, the first year, Tannehill, I thought, played pretty well. They went 10-6 and got to the playoffs. He tore his ACL. They made a terrible mistake by not having it operated on immediately, and then he missed the entire 17 season. This year, he played 11 games. I would argue that there's only so much you can get out of Ryan Tannehill. I don't think he's that great a quarterback. If Sam Darnold is what we think he's going to be, right, from what we saw, then Adam Gase should be able to do some things with him if he is as good a quarterback coach as people say.
Brian, look at the numbers. Do you really see a huge difference between 2014, 2015, Ryan Tannehill to when Gase took over in 16? You really see a huge difference? Like he
not
changed
numbers,
him?
But I thought watching him, I thought he was better that year. I did. I thought the entire team was better that year. I thought their offense was better. And talking to people in Miami, they felt he made a big difference in 2016, and then things kind of went off the rails for him after that.
Okay. Jay Cutler, too. We saw such a huge monumental difference with what he did in Chicago with Jay Cutler. Like, he's the
whisperer. Well, he cut down the interceptions.
Great.
I mean, that's what people
cut down the touchdowns.
In Chicago.
Cut down the touchdowns.
He did. But Jay Cutler's another guy. You know, if you talk to Jay Cutler, he swears by Gase. He went to Miami.
Oh, so he likes him. Good. I'm glad Jay Cutler likes Adam Gase. That's great. That makes me feel fantastic.
No, Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys.
Hey, remember one thing, Adam Gase.
The way you are, though, nothing is going to convince
me. Well, it's not true.
I'm open-minded, Brian. I really am.
Here's what's going to convince me.
I'm open-minded.
No, Brian.
That's great.
Brian, here's what's going to convince me.
I'm telling you, people that worked with this guy like him. People that played for him like him. They think he's a good coach.
Here's what's going to convince me.
He's a good coach. Beyond liking him, they think he's a good coach. They think they just made a good hire. You guys don't want to hear it.
Okay.
And I get that.
It comes down to one thing, Brian.
Don't act like you're open-minded.
No, look, we're stuck with this guy.
I get it.
We're stuck with this guy. No, Brian, the bottom line is this. We're stuck with this guy. Forget McCarthy. Yeah. It's too late now. They were stuck with this guy. The bottom line is this. He's got to win now. Now.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear. I don't. And I don't want to hear the terrible owner, because the ownership is a disgrace in his franchise. That's the biggest problem with the franchise. I don't want to hear the owner give me, I have no mandate on winning. BS. This team's got to win now. They got to.
Yeah.
He had his, the great Adam Gase has had his honeymoon period in Miami. Now you have to win now. There's no honeymoon period.
I think what Gase is walking into here is kind of, he's walking into year three of this plan, which they've told us for 2 years, we're going to win in 2019. Right. 2017, we're stripping
it
down.
Right.
2018, we're going to win the quarterback. 2019, we're going for it. Okay, it's here. It's here. Now, there's no more excuses.
None.
Wait till next year. You got $100 million to spend. You have the number three pick in the draft. Go out and nail it.
That's it.
You know,
look,
I think it's not really about Gase as much as about McCaffrey.
Sure, a lot of it
just happens to be the guy who's walking in the door.
Right, that's right.
You know what scares me, though, and the reason why I still blame McCaffrey and Heimerdinger is it feels like control is a big reason why they wanted someone they could control more than a guy like Mike McCarthy, who, based on his resume, could have demanded
more. No question about it.
No, I don't agree with that. I think Heimerdinger is getting way too much power.
But
Heimerdinger's job was to help create the list of candidates, find out who the best candidates were and bring them in. He had no say in who he was.
But who is this guy? Brian, who is this guy?
He's the right-hand man for McCagney. He's the vice president of personnel. He's McCagney's right-hand guy. There's no doubt. But he wasn't making this hire. This is Mike McCagney and Christopher Johnson. So that Heimerdinger was involved in figuring out who the best people were to interview for the job. And he was involved in the interviews, but he had no say in the decision. So put him aside. But with McCagney, I don't think it's a power struggle, Evan. Christopher Johnson decided and said this on December 31st, McCagney has control over the roster. This is a non-starter. And we asked him point blank, what if a coach comes in and says, I want control of the roster? And he said, well, he's not our coach then. So this is Christopher Johnson's decision. I don't think this is, Mike McCagney is not a power-hungry guy at all. Yeah. He's not really an operator like that. There's plenty of guys in the NFL who are. I think McCagney might be better off with a little more than that, to be honest. He doesn't do that at all. So I think they're both reporting to Christopher Johnson now. I don't think that was really an issue here once Christopher Johnson said what he said. I think if you have an issue with that, I understand it.
Now, the open-mindedness is about moving forward, that I want the Jets to win.
Sure, of course.
I'm a Jet fan, Joe. I want to be wrong.
Of course.
The opinions I formed about Adam Gase, I didn't come up with 5 days ago. It's what I think about with Adam Gase. So it's not like I'm looking for anything. Look, maybe there is something you would tell me today as you're sitting here where I say, Boy, you know, Brian, I didn't think about that. That's a good reason for Adam Gase. But the Ryan Tannehill stuff, the Jay Cutler stuff, the Peyton Manning garbage, the Dolphin offensive production over the last
23 and 25
the record, some of his awful decisions, guys in the locker room not loving him, all of that stuff is what formed the opinion that on December 31st, when it came out that the Dolphins were firing him, I said to Joe, I'm afraid of this.
And you're right.
I know. You know, it was a good call by you. You said it right away.
And here's something else, too. I got to throw this out. And we're talking to Brian Costello. I'm going to throw this at you, too. You know, this idea that Belichick, you know, well, he had a job. Look what happened in Cleveland. Yep. No, no, no. If Adam Gase did what Belichick did and then went to, like, Belichick went to be an assistant again in New England with Bill and then an assistant with Bill with the Jets, and then he got the job, I'd look at it a little differently. How many times have we seen these guys go? We saw this with Mangini.
Eric and Rex. Yep, we saw
there you go. Yeah. Right.
The thing I would argue with Eric and Rex is I think both of them went, Eric especially, went into a bad situation after he left the Jets. Rex, I don't think Buffalo had a ton of talent there. Rex did himself no favors with what he did with the roster up there.
Right,
but
right.
I think this is a better situation because of Sam.
Oh, it is.
And because
sure
of the money.
Is.
And so I think Gase will be helped by that. But I understand your point about being humbled. I do, you know, what my research with what happened in Miami. I think a lot of Gase's problems were on the personnel side more than the coaching side. I always think, unless you're Bill Belichick, the head coach should not have final say over 53.
Well,
he
depends.
Did. I think he made some mistakes there, and I think, you know, hopefully, well, he doesn't have to learn from them because he's not going to have control here. In terms of the players not liking him, I think that's gotten overblown a little bit. I talked to some people I respect down there who said players who weren't playing were the ones who were kind of bashing him on his way out the door saying he played favorites. And what someone said to me was like, yeah, he played favorites. He played favorites with the guys who were good football players and played them. Those guys didn't think they were playing enough, so they were ripping him out the door. There were a lot of guys down there who liked him, too, and praised him out the door. Just, you know, it doesn't get as much attention. He did, you know, Miami Herald report, he yelled at Stephen Ross in the meeting. I do think he has some rough edges. I think he's a cocky guy. I think that is going to be something to watch for sure. You know, but I also think, you know, what have we said for years about, especially when Rex was here and even with Todd, is, you know, the players love him. Well, what good did that do those guys? If the players, you know, maybe if the players don't like this guy a little bit, it's a good thing.
Yeah, do me a favor, though. Don't do me a favor, though, Brian. Don't put Rex and Todd Bowles in the same sentence, okay? Because Rex actually did something here. Todd Bowles
did
nothing.
In terms of their relations to players, though, they're very similar. In terms of
two AFC championships.
Rex Ryan, if the stupid owner didn't do what he did and dump Tannenbaum the way he did, Rex might still be here. Rex went to two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez, who's basically a joke around the NFL world, and he even went 8-8 with Geno Smith, and he gets no credit for that whatsoever. So please never put Rex Ryan in the same sentence with Todd Bowles. You know, the only guy you put in the same sentence with Todd Bowles is Richie Kotite. That's it.
Well, you know, based on their resume,
the player friendliness. Okay, remember, you know, we talked about that before. Is the players love those guys, and you know, it doesn't always translate a great thing.
Brian, based on the resumes, Richie Kotite did more in Philly upon coming to the Jets than Adam Gase did in Miami. And how about this guy? I'll give you another comparison. How about a guy who in his first year with his team won 10 games, they made the playoffs. Second year won 10 games. Third year won 6-9, got fired. He got great production out of Nick Foles. Chip Kelly got a job right away, went to San Francisco, went 2-14. How'd that work out?
Not well, but again, it was a pretty bad situation he went into in San Francisco. Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying.
But why'd they dump him after 3 years in Philly when he had two winning years?
Chip?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because that was a whole power struggle with Howie Roseman, and, you know, everybody hated him in the building. There was all.
Brian, I'm not trying to defend Chip Kelly, but here's what's funny. So, in that year where Chip Kelly coached the Eagles to 10 wins, they had a quarterback named Nick Foles. Nick Foles threw 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. In 2019, when we talk about Nick Foles' success, and I do this too, and I apologize, we don't mention Chip Kelly. We talk about the offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur. We say, well, Pat Shurmur got a lot of Nick Foles. Right. The head coach was Chip Kelly, offensive-minded guy, got the most out of a quarterback. In fact, Chip Kelly got more out of his quarterback than Adam Gase did with your Ryan Tannehill numbers and your Jay Cutler numbers and Peyton Manning when he's already a Hall of Famer. He got a job immediately. The immediacy of the job also scares me. We've talked about this. The great head coaches who became great in their second job, like Bill Belichick or Mike Shanahan, or even Pete Carroll on his third job,
they had to wait.
Yep. This guy probably doesn't think he did anything wrong in Miami.
Yep. Yep.
It's fair. You know,
it's right.
I think Amen. I thought Eric would have been, you know, way better coach if he'd gotten a few years off to sit and think about the way what he would have done better. So I'm not going to argue that point. I think you're right. And look, guys, I'm not saying this is a slam dunk hire. I'm convinced he's going to be, you know, the guy that gets the Lombardi trophy here. I'm not. I'm a little more optimistic than you guys on the hire. That's all. But there's plenty of questions about Adam Gase. This is not a no-brainer hire. I think where we differ is I wasn't thinking Mike McCarthy was a no-brainer either. I didn't think there was a no-brainer in this crop of candidates. So, you know, and the truth is none of us know. Nobody knows. We'll see how it works
out. I'm going to ask you this. We're talking to Brian Costello. Try to tell me why 3 to 4 years from now, if not sooner, okay? Yeah. Tell me. I mean, because the history tells me this is going to happen. And I won't be doing this anymore. I'll be down in Florida. I'll be suffering as a Jet fan in anonymity at that point and getting ready for my next tee time, okay? That's you know, which I wish I was doing right now. With that said, you tell me how we're not having this same conversation 3 or 4 years from now about the new head coach again and also the new general manager, because that's what it'll be. So do you buy that? Tell me how that's not going to happen.
Here's what I'll say.
Okay.
You're right. The odds are that it will happen, not just with the Jets, but almost the entire NFL. 25% of the teams fire their coaches.
Well, the Jets,
right?
If you break down, it's the average Jet coach lasts 3 years.
Right, but there's plenty of teams like that, right? Arizona, Cleveland, Tampa.
All the terrible organizations.
All the teams you cited that interview McCarthy, so they stink.
Right.
But think about that. You guys cited those teams not interviewing McCarthy as proof, there's something wrong with him. Yeah, those teams are incompetent.
They stink.
But
Cincinnati, although they did have Marvin Lewis for 50 years. But anyway, go ahead.
So, I won't include Cincinnati in that way. There's stability there.
It's true.
But chances are you're right, Joe, because that's the way this league is. Most coaches don't last.
But that's the way the Jets are, Brian.
Here's what I'll say is the difference this time in my eyes. Yep. Sam Darnold.
Okay.
I think you've got a quarterback for the first time in my memory that I think is going to be the quarterback here for 10 years. And he can make a coach look good. And he can make a general manager look good. They got to get some stuff around him. There's no doubt about that. They've got the resources to do that this year. If you're a Jets fan, you just have to put your faith in Mike McCagden. I know that's a tough one, a tough sell right now, but you got to put your faith that he's going to get some pieces around him. And this quarterback, I think, will make a coach and a GM look good, and that's your hope.
We can only pray. Nine wins minimum next year. Minimum.
All right. I said. I'm on board.
The honeymoon is over. Adam Gase, you had your honeymoon in Florida, like a lot of people do. You had your honeymoon in Florida. Now you're in the real world. There's no more honeymoon. Okay? And I'll tell you what, if he goes 5-11 next year, I want him out after the first year. No, I'm serious. 5-11, he goes, and McCagnan goes with him.
Yeah.
There's no freaking excuse.
Then you hire Mike McCarthy.
More. No, they won't hire him because the owner's an idiot. The owner has no clue what he's doing. That's the problem. You could not have two worse owners over the last almost 50 years than Leon Hess and the Johnson brothers. Let's be real. They stink. They do.
I know you can't say he's different.
Of course,
Christopher's a different person than Woody.
Okay,
right?
Great.
And
okay.
Here's what I'll say:
he's great.
Process. I thought they did a very thorough process.
Tremendous.
Right? They did a lot of interviews. They did their homework. Mm-hmm. We'll see how the results are. You know, you won't be able to judge this until they stop playing.
But the honeymoon's over for Adam Gase. Like I said, he honeymooned in Florida for 3 years, had a lot of fun. Okay, now you're in the real world. There's no more honeymoon here now. None. You got your quarterback. You got $100 million under the cap. You got the third pick in the draft. Get it done now.
Okay. I'm with you.
That's like a pep talk for him.
No, I'm just saying.
Brian.
Joe's going to come in, Evan, on the first day. We sent Phil in on the first day of training camp to get the pep talk. Yeah. Get it done.
Yeah. Hey, I heard
they won't even let me in a building there. Are you kidding me?
I heard the pep talk Sean Payton gave his Saints, which was brilliant. I think Joe would do a great job doing that. I think he would.
Yeah, Joe. Well, Joe's got $200,000 laying around.
More $300,000.
Brian, all right, guys. Thank you very much.
Brian,
just remember,
you know we love you. Brian, we know you. We know you. We know you. You know we love you. All right,
I know that, and you also know
both of us, and I think this is unusual. I don't think most people in this industry feel this way.
We want to be wrong.
Well, I don't want. I want to be wrong. I want to be building a statue of Adam Gaze in my basement.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I want. No, yes. I'm serious.
Yes. I know. I gotcha. I know. I know.
All right.
I know. I'm with you. I understand where you're coming from, and I think, you know, I don't know other than Mike McCarthy who Jets fans would have loved.
I would have been better with Jim Caldwell.
To be honest with you, that's me.
Come on,
I would have.
He wanted him. I'm not. I don't agree with that.
But at least the guy's got a track record. The guy's got a track record of being somewhat of a successful. He took the Lions to the play. No, he took the Lions to the playoffs.
I get it.
Who does that? Who does that?
Just remember something, Joe. It's very important.
Wayne Fonts did it. That's 30 years ago.
Just remember, we give Adam Gase credit for Peyton Manning, but we don't give Jim Caldwell credit for Peyton Manning.
No,
okay?
No, you can't. No,
very important.
No. That's
only
true.
Gase, not Caldwell.
No.
Not Caldwell.
Never.
No.
I just think Caldwell just would have been.
That's fine. He's not the coach, so I'm just throwing it out there. The coach is Gase.
And Arians was never happening here, guys. He's like Todd Bowles' second father. Just wasn't happening. He wouldn't. I don't think he would have had any interest in this job.
Right.
Because he wouldn't do that to Todd, and he knew, and he knows everything about the Jets to know.
Yeah, Todd told
every bad thing. You know.
Now, one last thing, Brian, before I let you go. Greg Williams, defensive coordinator, is that a possibility?
Yeah. ESPN reported, I think, this morning. That's a possibility. That's an interesting idea. He'd be fun.
Yes.
Right?
He's good. I want him. I want Greg Williams to be the defensive coordinator.
The interesting thing is he runs a 4-3. The Jets have been 3-4 forever.
Stop with that. That means nothing. It means diddly.
Something in terms of personnel. Remember, like
we got such a great defense. No, hold on. Our defensive line is so. We got the fearsome.
No. I'm not saying that.
We got the great Leonard Williams. I mean, he reminds me of Deacon Jones. Of course.
It might be interesting in terms of personnel. Remember when they went from Herm to Mangini? They got rid of Vilma, right? Because he didn't fit the 3-4.
Well, he would never tell us which knee was injured. We have to. It was like clandestine.
So you can see some personnel changes. You know,
good.
Which might be interesting.
The defense stinks. I want personnel changes on the defense. It's terrible.
I'd like to see. I'd like to see what he does with Jamal Adams. That'd be interesting.
Okay, well, he's the one guy that could stay. Avery Williamson can stay.
Henry Anderson.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay, maybe Marcus May. I still don't know about him because he was hurt all last year.
Yeah. Brian, we appreciate it.
You know, we love you.
All right, guys.
Brian Costello on the Jets. Day like today makes me want to find Rex Ryan and Herm Edwards and just hug them.
Right?
Those
exactly
are two
right.
guys I'd like to hug right now.
I completely agree.
And I know we have Herm's number. We could always call him up and just say, we're just thinking of you, Herm.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.